Thank you, Carl, and Bob, for organizing this symposium and inviting me. In the previous talks, you've heard some real solutions or answers, but at the end of my talk, you'd have more questions than answers. Let's see. Let me go to the next. Pheromones are chemicals produced by an individual that evoke a behavioral response from other conspecific individuals. In termites, we find trail following, orientation, recruitment, and sexual attraction as the major behavioral responses. In addition, we might have nestmate recognition, just like in the ants. On the basis of behavior, termites can be divided into either one-piece life type or a separate life type. For the one-piece life type, we have an example of Zootermopsis that basically live in a confined space, do not forage over large distances, and the stone glands produce a compound there that's primarily used as a source of disturbance to the nest and within the nest rather than a source for finding the food. An example of the separate life type could be the Formosan subterranean termite. The first trail pheromone was demonstrated in the damphoot termite Zootermopsis by Lucia and Mueller back in 1960. However, they did not correctly identify the pheromone. Since then, about 50 different pheromones have been identified from termites. This information was compiled and presented by Salem Doucet at the IUSSI last year. And as you see that most of the termites here have one common thing, that's the dodecatrino, as the so-called trail pheromone of termites. According to him and his colleagues, the trail pheromone of termites are highly conserved and do not show a high species specificity. Chemical parsimony is most evident in termites. Thus, the same chemical, while acting as a trail pheromone in the workers, can act as a sex pheromone in the adults in much higher quantities. The primary source of the trail pheromone in termites is the sternal gland, which is present either on the fourth or the fifth sternite. And this is from Reticulotermes flyopis alate or adult on the fifth segment. Whereas the bioassays for pheromones in case of, say, Lepidoptera have been highly modified, reached a high degree of sophistication, in termites we still use a line drawn on a paper or the primitive Y tube. Based on their foraging activities, we can separate the divide the separate life type into those that forage in open, like the harvester termites, of which we have Hodotermes mozambicus and Anacanthotermes turkestanicus, or those which forage within the confines of tunnels and mud tubes, like the subterranean termites. Last couple of years, I have been working in Uzbekistan for some time, looking at Anacanthotermes turkestanicus. This species is essentially subterranean, but it comes out at dusk and forages for grasses and small weeds and shrubs. Subsequent foraging is by making mud tubes over these food sources, and the food is then taken within the confines of these mud tubes to the parent colony. There have been no trail pheromones identified from Hodotermitidae, including these two species, although Bordeaux's group had recently announced that Hodotermes mozambicus trail pheromone could be a C18 aldehyde. I'd like to spend the rest of time talking about Coptotermes formosanus, that's the Formosan subterranean termite. The chemical identified so far from the sternal glands of rhinotermitids, which includes the Coptotermes, is dodecatrienal ZZE368. In our, again, sophisticated Y2 bioassays, we have found that the workers follow the workers' sternal gland extracts, and soldiers follow to a less extent, so there is some caste specificity there. There's also interspecific following to the same solvent, to the same compound. That means if you take reticulotermes, they will follow the the dodecatrienal. However, there are some major questions. This is the cotton nest of the Formosan termite, and oftentimes you'd find hundreds of thousands of termites within each nest. And if each one of those workers is producing dodecatrienal, as we have determined, then this whole cotton nest should be, which is an enclosed environment, should be fully saturated with this compound. While foraging underground, we again find that the soldiers are the first ones to go, and they're probably scouting the area and then acting as, you know, guards while workers do the dirty work. And again, in the mud tubes, it's a group foraging. It's not like one termite going, laying a trail, and the rest of them following them. If you look at the amounts of dodecatrienal in the workers of the Formosan termite, we find about 101 picograms per worker sternal gland. The native reticulotermes has about 137 nanograms. We have looked at the extracts of the cotton nest and didn't find anything, and same way in the mud tubes, we did not find any evidence of dodecatrienal. We're now getting into GCEAD and EAG setup and using that to identify some of the other semiochemicals that might be present in the sternal glands. Here's the dodecatrienal, which is the standard, and we get a very good response from the antennae, and that's the sternal gland extract, and the response in the EAD. What is then the role of the sternal gland extracts, or the so-called trail pheromone, in these termites? Even in the Zootermopsis, where the trail pheromone has recently been identified as dimethyl dodecanal, the termites still need tunnels or mud tubes, and they can work within the confines of those. If you look at a paper by Rosengoss and workers in 2004, she said that the sternal gland secretions in termites may have had the original function of controlling microbes within the nest, and their prominent role in communication may have evolved secondarily. What they did is they took the extract from the sternal glands of Zootermopsis and checked it for inhibiting the the spores of metarhizium. So we're looking at some of those functions also within the Formosan subterranean termite. Now, something about the sex form pheromone, which is rather a little bit simpler than the trail following pheromones. If you look at the reticulotermes flavipes, here's a female calling, and this is the stone gland here that's slightly evaginated and releases the pheromone and attracts the males. In case of the Formosan termite, there is no calling behavior. One of the reasons might be because when Formosan termites swarm, there are hundreds of thousands in the swarms, and they don't really need the assistance of a sex pheromone because the contact between the sexes is almost incidental. But what happens is once they lose the wings and the male follows the female in tandem, it always sort of attaches to the, or stays, you know, together with the female by attaching to the tip of the female abdomen. So that aroused a little curiosity, and we started looking at the 9th and 10th abdominal segments of the female, which have the Tergal glands. And the Tergal glands secretion was identified as trilinolein. One female on average has about 840 nanograms, a huge quantity of this. On the other hand, if you look at the males, the virgin males have no Tergal glands and no trilinolein. But when males and females are kept together as in a normal incipient colony, they gradually start acquiring trilinolein, we sort of designated it as a companionship pheromone or gift, but again, do not know the function of this. So that's another mystery there. And just when we knew that, at least in case of the reticulotermes, that we knew what dodecatrienol does, you know, it's used in by the adults as a sex pheromone. There's a soldier of reticulotermes followed by a male and followed by a female. So that's totally, you know, completely. So it's a mystery what the real trail pheromone in termites is doing. I'd like to thank two people, John Bland, for most of the chemistry work that I have presented, and Chris Florin, my technician, for the GCEAD work. Taking really little time. Thank you.